Hello, Cinnabar Moss, or any kind of moth you'd like to be. Welcome to the Writer's Triangle, Cinnabar Moss podcast about all things publishing and books. Today we are here with Cassandra Wynn Walker, our writer in residence for Cinnabar Moth Literary Collections. Cassandra, how are you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And also thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. It's a delight.
So today we're going to be talking about diversity in writing. And I was wondering, when did you first learn about the concept of diversity and what does it mean to you?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think I must have come to absorb the meaning of the idea of diversity in literature far before I had any concept of the idea. I was a voracious reader as a child, and a lot of my favorite books when I were little would now be considered as being books from diverse writers. And so I think for me, the idea that the world was composed of all of these different people whose lives were so different from mine and perspectives were so different from mine was something to be taken for granted. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I realized having that library card was a real gift. It was a window into a world that not everybody was looking out on.
Okay, so your exposure came to it from reading a variety of books at the library, then.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The community that I grew up in was in the middle of Oklahoma, which generally is not considered an incredibly diverse place to grow up. But I lived in Oklahoma City. There's an Air Force base there. And a lot of the kids that I went to school with were Air Force kids. And so I actually was exposed to people from all over the world and who had traveled more. And we also had a large Asian community in Oklahoma City, people who had come, most of whom had originally been in California and then moved farther into the middle of the country. So I had friends who were from Vietnam, friends from China, friends from Thailand. And it didn't occur to me that that was an unusual thing until I was older.
I see. And so with this experience with being exposed to a diverse group of people and everything, do you consider yourself to be a part of diversity in writing? And if so, how are you contributing to that diversity?
I hope so. I think that there are a lot of ways that a person contributes to diversity, first by sharing their own experiences and their own perspective, but also, and equally importantly, listening to and elevating the perspectives of other people around you. So I don't think it's enough to just tell your own story and tell it truthfully. I think you also have to listen to the stories of other people and seek those out, not listen in a passive way to whatever comes in your direction, but to seek out those differing points of views and look for writers and readers who have stories to tell that you haven't heard, or that you haven't heard told in that way.
Yeah, so for you, participating, contributing to diversity is two parts in telling your truthful story and also seeking out the stories of others and supporting and, I suppose, in some way, signal boosting other people's writing as well.
Yes, I think that's hugely important.
So with that, what do you think publishers and editors of literary magazines can do to increase diversity in publishing?
Well, I have a very outside perspective on this because I've never worked on the publishing side of the story. So I don't know that I'm the best person to speak to that, but I can say what I've seen over the last couple of years that I think has been useful. And a couple of things that I've seen is I've seen on submission calls from literary magazines and from book publishers, both a concerted effort to get people from marginalized groups to contribute and to submit their work, sometimes limiting their submission calls only to those people, or in other cases, which I think this is super helpful, some of the big five publishers that you normally can't submit to at all without an agent will have limited submission calls where people from those communities can submit their work, even if they don't have an agent, which is a huge opportunity. What I don't know is whether or not those manuscripts are actually getting through the gates. I don't know if those calls for submissions and those solidarity statements on websites are actually translating into more contracts for people, or if it's just an effort to present the right face to the world. So I can't really speak to what's actually happening, but I think that those are good signs.
Okay, so for you, it's hard to tell without the inside view to know whether it's performative, but you're hoping it's not, and if it's not, it's a good thing.
Yes, I would agree with that.
That's fair. I do think it can be a bit difficult at times to know exactly how much we see that actually translates into real change. For us at Cinnabar Moth, we have a focus on diversity, and we feel that it raises all voices, because mostly the mainstream point of view is already known. It doesn't really need that support. What would you say to those that argue against diversity and claim that by focusing on diversity, we're somehow silencing mainstream voices or points of view?
It's difficult for me to take that question seriously, even though I know that there are people who really earnestly do feel that way. But I think if you look at the history of publishing and the history of libraries, you'll see that there are innumerable volumes from people whose viewpoints and backgrounds and appearances are quite similar. So I don't think we're going to suddenly experience a dearth of, you know, old white men, and it's going to be this tragic moment where we no longer know what old white men think about the world. I don't think we're going to find ourselves in that position. So I don't think it's a valid point to say that it's unfair to have that focus, because we're still not seeing an equitable ratio of perspectives in the arts, even though there are all of these people who have the arts as their focus and their purpose in life, but the percentages of them that are actually breaking out and being seen and being read and being heard are very small. So I think we have a long way to go, and I don't think that old white men are going to suffer any because somebody else is allowed to speak up and be heard.
I definitely agree. I think that it's a kind of an unhealthy mindset to think of it in that competitive way, right? That somehow helping others to be seen means that these people also can't be seen too.
Right? Yes, exactly. It's not a pie. We're not going to run out of pie.
Right. And so I want to change the focus a little bit from talking about the mainstream and such and focus more on your work. In your writing, you touch quite a bit on pain and loss. What drives that focus for you?
I think since the time that I was very young, I've been very cognizant of the role that loss has to play in how we interact with life and how we perceive life. So even though the topics may appear very grim, and I definitely don't shy away from how dark they can be or how sad certain aspects of life can be, I think that when we fully understand how we interact and relate with loss and with death and with trauma, that's what enables us to be fully present in the world. And to be fully present in joy isn't possible unless you have made peace with grief.
And so for you, you'd say that while you're writing does go into these topics, it's not meant to be a sad thing to explore them.
Yes. I think that it's possible to be completely honest and transparent and even completely bottom out in your grief, and for that to ultimately be a beautiful thing that brings you into light.
It makes a lot of sense, because processing what you're going through and your experiences is a key to being able to move beyond the pain of them.
I think so.
So with your writing experience and your journey as a writer, what would you say is something that might surprise people to hear about your journey to becoming a fiction author?
I don't know. I never really find myself that interesting of a topic. and so I'm not sure what other people's perspective or perception of me is, or what they would anticipate. I think there's a lot of drudgery maybe to writing that people don't expect, that there's a lot of research, not into the fun stuff that you're going to actually get to write about, but research into agents and publishers and submission calls and trying to figure out exactly how you're supposed to approach people and what they're looking for, and doing all the grunt work of accomplishing that takes up way more time than the fun stuff does.
And so rather than something that's surprising about you specifically, you think it might surprise people just how much goes beyond just writing the book and the effort to just write the book involved with being a fiction author.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do think that going into it without any prior experience, it's, even when I was first delving into publishing, it was very surprising how many cogs there are in the machine.
It's very true.
And so have you found the world of publishing and some of the, I guess, the cogs in the machine, so to speak, to be welcoming to your point of view and your voice?
I do not think so. No, I don't think there's anything remotely welcoming about the world of publishing. I think it's a city behind a wall that you have to lay siege to and batter down the walls to get in the gate. It is not a welcoming place. You have to really be willing to do the hard work and prove yourself and take advantage of every tiny opportunity and push past everybody's discouragements and rejections and expectations. And you have to know when you're wrong, and you have to bend and change. And you also have to know when to stand your ground and say, that's not honest to what I'm doing as an artist. I'm not going to pursue that path. I think that publishing, you really have to go in and find a piece of it and bend it to you. It's not going to make room on its own.
So would you say then that the publishing world, because it has so many barriers to entry, has a certain built-in barrier against diversity as well?
I think it does. And I think some of it, of course, arises from actual sort of deep-seated, maybe even unconscious bigotry. But I think at least equal to that is the fact that so much of publishing anymore is just about replicating prior successes. And to that end, they're looking for authors and stories and plots and marketing campaigns that look like what's worked before. And that being the case, most of what's worked before were people from certain demographics that looked and talked a certain way and told a certain kind of stories. And so those are what mostly gets perpetuated. Everybody says that they want to publish the next great experimental writer. I'm sure any agent would say, oh, I would love to publish the next James Joyce. But if someone as experimental and daring and difficult as Joyce came along today, he would never find an agent. That would never happen. So I think a lot of the barriers in publishing are simply this desire to replicate the past, because that's where the money was. And it takes a lot of courage to break out of that and look for readers and money and unexpected places. And most of them lack that.
Yeah, I do agree there is a certain level of wanting to keep things in what works, quote unquote. This worked before, it'll continue working, why change? If it's not broke, don't fix it type of mentality.
Yes.
But the reality is that we're not fixing anything by adding more things in. We're just giving it opportunities to grow.
Well, and I think that's one place where independent presses like Cinnabar Moth are so important and where they make such a big difference, because all of a sudden the whole landscape isn't dominated by the same five publishers and they don't have all of the power and all of the control. And there are a lot of readers now who are actually saying out loud, I'm bored with what I'm getting from the bestseller list. And they're seeking out those publishers who are publishing different kinds of books and different kinds of writers. And they're eager for that. They're soaking it up.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about this being outside the mainstream. And for you as an author as well, what would be a piece of advice that you would give to your fellow authors who are not looking to be with the big five publishers, who are not looking to be in the mainstream, and want to write about these topics and points of view that you've mentioned readers are trying to pick up more with being outside of that mainstream's bubble?
I think the most important thing for any artist is always to be true to the story you have to tell and not to be swayed from that. Everybody, every artist, regardless of your medium or what your message is, has to hone their craft, and they have to continually improve and fight to excel and do better what it is they're trying to accomplish. But the core message has to stay the same, or there's no purpose to what you're giving your whole life to. And you are giving your whole life to it. The few minutes you have, maybe all the minutes you have, and it's all the soul you have. So don't throw it away just for a quick buck making something you don't believe in. Tell the story that you have to tell, and it will be read or heard or seen by the people who are going to understand it. And it's going to be important and it's going to matter to them. So don't be swayed from that.
Yeah, I do think that quite a few authors that I've spoken with have said that their goal is for their writing to connect with their readers to connect with their writing, and for their writing to reach people and to give them something meaningful. And I do think that authenticity is very important for that to feel good when it finally happens.
Yes, absolutely.
So for you specifically, what would you say is your goal as a writer? Would you say it's about career, spreading awareness, a mixture of both, or something else entirely?
Well, my dream as a writer would always be to be able to support myself with my work and take care of my family and the people that I care about through my art. And whether or not that's feasible from a practical point of view, I don't know. But what is important to me is that every time I write a book, I'm doing something new, something different as an artist, something that I haven't done before, and something someone else hasn't done in the same way. And so all of my books are very different from each other in some respects, even though they're grappling with the same questions. I'm always trying to come at it from a different direction and raise new questions and new perspectives that will hopefully speak to the reader and be a medium for a conversation that they can have with the art itself.
Okay, so for you, it's career is naturally a goal, but also having the different ways that you write about and cover the topics connect with people and different people and a variety of people, and to kind of reach as many as you can and connect with your readers?
Yes, I people argue about it all the time, but I'm a big believer that art really does absolutely change the world, but it does that one person at a time. No one piece of art is going to topple a tyrannical government, but a piece of art can connect with a person and inspire them, and that person can go on to change the world.
I think that's a beautiful message to take away from it for other writers as well, to take inspiration from the idea of their work connecting and moving people to, even if it's as simple as to improve their own lives a little bit. Well, I would say even that's not necessarily simple, but it sounds simple to say.
Right. Well, and I think another aspect of that too, that we sometimes don't give the importance that it deserves. It may be that the book you're writing doesn't have a grand message. It may be that it's not tackling a huge topic, but maybe that book you're writing is a place where a child can escape who has no other form of escape, who has no other safety in their life, but they have that book. And you giving that child that space for those few hours, that's a whole world in itself. And that's as valuable as writing a book that overthrows a tyrant.
Yeah, I think that is something that often does get overlooked, is the value of providing distance or safety or peace to people, even if it's just for, 30 minutes in a day.
Yeah.
Because people often will have difficulty finding those spaces and finding that safety for themselves and battling things going on in their lives or in their own minds, and having a way to get away from that can help to ease that pain.
Yes, definitely.
So I wanted to move the topic a little bit back to talking about diversity as a whole with publishing. Do you feel that, from what you've seen, publishing understands the level of diversity within your community and your background?
Again, I don't think publishing gives a lot of time and attention to understanding anyone's community or background. I think their focus is entirely on marketing and promotion and what can they make money out of. Now, there are certain communities and certain issues that they'll devote a little bit more time to understanding from time to time, but always with the purpose of exploiting that comprehension in order to sell a book. I don't think they have any fundamental compassionate, altruistic interest in communities outside of cash registers.
And so from your perspective, publishing is just a money-making machine that will see opportunities for money through lip service to diversity, but it's not actually with the goal of spreading and increasing diversity.
I think most of the time that's true. Certainly for the big five publishers. Now, like I said earlier, there's a lot of independent publishers who have sprung up for the sole reason of putting work out there that can't find any other way out. And a lot of those publishers are run by people who have full-time jobs, and some of them are run by people who are literally working for free, pouring all of their own resources into these publishing houses because they absolutely believe in that. But I think that those are the exception to the rule.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment with the big five. Is, they're, when things get so that large, I think it often happens where diversity and individuality becomes a less human concept in a way. It kind of dehumanizes that process and makes it more about, well, how do we keep growing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if there was one message that you could get to the publishing community to hear and understand, do you have one message that you would share?
I guess I would tell them to trust the readers. I think we often don't give readers the credit they deserve, and we assume that they only want safe stories, that they only want to hear what's going to make them feel better about themselves, that they're going to only want to hear what's familiar. And I don't think readers are like that at all. I think readers are explorers and they're travelers, and the publishing world should believe in them and give them adventure.
Yeah, I do think that there's one thing, there's a lot of readers. And for another thing, all those readers have different, you know, they may have overlap in their taste, but they have a variety of taste just from person to person, let alone the totality of all of them. So no matter what the topic is, there's always going to be some group of readers who will enjoy that.
Well, and so much of what I learned as a child, I only learned through books. I had no personal experience with certain cultures, certain parts of the world. The only way I learned about them was through books. And we can't forget that enormous power that we have to literally open up the world to people through books. And we should do that. We shouldn't stay where it's familiar. We should break out and challenge ourselves and open those windows.
Yeah, I do think that's important, because even the same topic of story can be written so differently and from such a completely different perspective, just because one person's culture is different mm-hmm. from others. It can lead to this entirely different understanding of how things flow and work in a world.
Absolutely.
I think that's a beautiful message to share with everybody. And I think that it'd be wonderful if the mainstream publishing community would hear that and understand it.
That would be nice.
So, Cassandra, I'd like to thank you for talking with me today and for being on the Writer's Triangle.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I'd like to thank all of our beautiful moths for listening. Cassandra, could you tell us where to find you on social media?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at WindwalkerWrite. Not as in I'm always right, but as I'm always writing. And you can find me on Instagram at Cassandra Windwalker, or on Facebook at Cassandra Windwalker Writes.
Okay, thank you very much. And for all of our listeners, be sure to visit centerofourmoth.com or centerofourmothliterarycollections.com and check out the transcripts. We'll also have Cassandra's social media links. Cassandra, again, thank you for talking with me today. It's been a wonderful time having you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And bye-bye.
Bye.